Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Lisa H., and I am a recovered compulsive overeater from Tennessee. Today is Wednesday, February 19th, 2025, and this is the 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today, we're reading from the Big Book, and we're on page 80 in the chapter Into Action. We'll be reading and commenting on the first paragraph that begins before taking drastic actions and ending, we must not shrink. Today's readers, thank you for your service this Wednesday. The 12 Steps, Jen P., The 12 Traditions, Barbara P., our first readers, Tamara C., page 164, Judy N., and our backup is Susan S.H. Our newcomer greeter this morning is Karen W. Our second hour host is Christine G., and announcements will be given by Kathy S. The reference numbers for yesterday, Tuesday, February 18th, the 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 22,175. That's 22175. And for the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, it's 22,176. That's 22176. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At A Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Jen P. to please read the 12 steps.
Good morning, Lisa. Can I be heard?
You can.
Okay. This is Jen from New Jersey, grateful, recovering compulsive overeater. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. 1, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being, the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only in the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you.
Thank you, Jen P. from New Jersey. And I'll now ask Barbara P. to please read the 12 traditions.
Good morning. This is Barbara P., compulsive overeater. The 12 traditions. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Six, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. Seven, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. Eight, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. Nine, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thanks, and I pass.
Thank you, Barbara P. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speakers should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book. On page 80, the first paragraph that begins before taking drastic action and ends, we must not shrink. And we'll be commenting on that one paragraph. And I'll now ask Tamara C. to please begin reading.
Thank you. Thank you so much for your service moderating the meeting. Okay, it says, this is Tamara C., compulsive overeater, grateful to be recovered in Missouri. Before taking drastic action, which might implicate other people, we secure their consent. If we have obtained permission, have consulted with others, asked God to help, and the drastic step is indicated, we must not shrink. I was trying to think of any amends that I've needed to make where others might be implicated. And I couldn't come up with one where, like, you know, admitting what I had done would get somebody else in trouble. But I am able to think of plenty of amends where I just wasn't sure, like, if I do this amends, is it going to cause harm either to the person I was making amends to or to like a third party person, like financially, would it hurt them or in other ways? And so when this happened, I'm taking this as instructions to not use that as an excuse to avoid making the amends and doing the thing that I don't want to do. Because this is life and death for me, and because I am learning to have a new way of living that involves courage to do the right thing. But I definitely have consulted with sponsors and other recovered people and my higher power. And there were times where I just couldn't see. I was like too close to the situation to see the harm that I might have done. And after getting experience, strength, and hope from a sponsor, I was able to get some direction to go a different way with the amends that would be less harmful to others. I want to recognize that this amends work is transformational, and I don't avoid it just because I have an excuse. And the whole point is for my higher power to help me learn a new design for living. And that includes putting myself in a position where I can be moved from a self-centered, fearful way of living to a God-centered life full of usefulness and purpose. So I am learning to be considerate of the other person. The well-being of others is important. And I think it's an important theme of this whole step process. So I can have the courage to be willing to take drastic action if it's called for, because I'm learning that I have a higher power who considers me worthy and who has got my back. So it's safe to do these things. And I'm learning to pause and ask my higher power and others for input so that I don't do more harm. I will pass with that. I'm curious to see what other people get from this paragraph.
Thank you, Tamara C. from Missouri. And although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So if you shared on Monday or Tuesday, we ask you to hold back this morning. Who would like to comment on what was read?
Katie G. from Boston.
Katie.
This is Hanayeta R.
Hanayeta, and I heard a gentleman.
Ian F.
Ian, thank you.
Leia S.
Leia S.
Lisa B. in South Carolina.
Lisa. Y'all are being so sweet to me. Okay, I have Katie G., Hanayeta R., Ian F., Leia S., Lisa B. Anybody else?
Ken W.H.
Ken. Okay. Well, that sounds like a great lineup. Katie G., you're up, followed by Hanayeta R.
Hey, Lisa. Thanks for taking the meeting. Good morning, everyone. This is Katie G., recovered in Boston. So in Bill's story, he says this line that my sponsor told me about. He is naturally unmindful of the welfare of others. And a sponsor brought me to that line. And it's very true. Like, I don't think about people naturally. I think about myself. And one of the examples of this is I was on this really high amend pursuit. I was
How's
making,
you doing?
And that's not.
Did come
whoever
up to say
just
hello?
Said has. Whoever just is talking, can you please mute yourself? Okay, Lisa, is that? Can you still hear me?
Yes, you can. You can start again, Katie.
Okay. All right. Naturally unmindful of the welfare of others, everybody. Okay. So what did I do? So I was on this amend kick, and I was picturing myself as Bill, which I often do when I'm feeling egotistical. And I made an amend for about $4,000 that I had. And at the time, I was engaged to the man I'm now married to. And I told him what I had done. And he was like, wait, you just spent $4,000 and didn't tell me? Because he's my partner. He's my spouse. And I was only considering, well, I need to do this amend, and I need to feel better, and this amend is about me, and me, right? Like, I wasn't thinking of the welfare of my family that God had just given me. So I think it's so important that I do secure consent, that I do consider the ramifications of amends. The other thing I wanted to comment on, and this is a little bit different, but when I'm making amends, I've had to make amends for making amends So if you're not on the amend step or living in 10, 11, and 12, my loving encouragement to you is just to listen, because I've had to make amends for making amends. And when I make an amend, I call someone and I ask to set up an appointment. I don't just bombard somebody and say, okay, I have to make an apology to you, and here I am. I consider their time, right? I say, is there a good time that we can meet, and where can we meet? I don't make text amends because I don't do text harms. But if I'm on the phone with Susie Q and I owe her an amend, then, and she says, well, can you just tell me now? Then I go with it. It's always about the other person, and I secure their consent. Would it be okay if we talk about our relationship? I have been thinking about our relationship, and I owe you an apology. The other thing I wanted to share is that the reason I do this is because I got to give people an opportunity to say no. My mom said no to me for the first 7 years of recovery, and I had to sit with that, right? Like, I had to sit with my behavior and honor her decision to say no. I also wanted to make amends to some employees that I had, and I got this formal email basically saying, KDG, stay away, right? Because I had done the harm. And it's not about my welfare. It is about the welfare of others. Why? Because I want to stay abstinent. Why? Because I want to serve God's kids, because I'm God's girl today, right? And in order to stay close to God, I got to honor God's kids. And that means everybody. And that means getting out of this selfish, self-centered mind where everybody serves me, everybody should meet my needs, especially because I got to make my amends, right? So anyway, it's so great to be here. Thanks, Lisa. And can't wait to hear everybody else.
Thank you, Katie G. Sorry for that interruption. And Hanayeta R., you're up, followed by Ian F.
Yes, hi. Good morning. Thank you, Lisa, so much for your service. And everybody that has become before me, thank you so much for your shares. I am Hanayeta R. from Plano, Texas, and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. I'm in remission today. Thank you, God. You know, before we do anything, before I do anything, I'm able to ask God, or at least my sponsor, what I'm supposed to do. And there were times that I did have affairs with men that are married. And I hurt those wives. But to go up to those wives and say, you know, I had an affair with your husband, I'm really sorry, would not really, that would really maybe hurt that person. I mean, if they knew and they found out or something, maybe, but even then it would have to be really, you know, I'd have to talk to the person, secure their consent. I would have, you know, there was a lot of things that I had to do. But the other thing that I wanted to bring out, it says, you know, that we should do this unless it would injure them or others. And I'm fortunate enough that I've been around long enough that I was actually at an AA convention. I'm talking like this is like 1982, I think it was. And there was a gentleman there that was speaking to us, and he actually knew Bill Wilson. And he said that Bill Wilson, when he said others, was including ourselves. And we had to make sure that it's not going to hurt ourselves as well. I mean, we should do it until the nth degree and be willing, but we should not go in just with, you know, with flames and, you know, like, and running through wildly and just making amends without really giving drastic thought to help what we were going to do. We just shouldn't go off, you know, half-cocked and just do it. So I always think about that too, of what who I'd be hurting more than helping by making amends, and so that is really a big, huge thing for me. It is a drastic step, and it is indicated, you know, that we must not shirk. We can't just back up from it and say, no, I'm not going to do that because I'm going to hurt myself. Well, that's not the case either. But if I'm going to be put in jail and I'm the sole supporter of my family, well then, you know, and I have two young children, then maybe that wouldn't be such the best idea, that maybe we have to look at a different way to make that amends. So anyway, thank you. It's a huge step, and I know that, anyway, I just a note to the newcomer, please don't quit 5 minutes before the miracle, and there is one in there for you. Thank you so much for letting me share. I pass.
Thank you, Hanietta R. from Texas, and Ian F., you're up, followed by Leia S.
Hey, this is Ian F., compulsive overeater out of Indiana. Thank you all for being here. Great shares. I was really excited about step nine. And the reason that I was excited about step nine is that I'd done my whole inventory. I told someone about it. And I had all this guilt that I was ready to get rid of. And what I think has been an important, you know, realization for me about this work is that step nine is not about getting rid of my guilt. That's a side effect. You know, there are promises that say we'll be able to look people in the eye again, you know, we'll be able to walk as equals, right? But the amends is about fixing harm. And importantly, you can't do that if you are creating harm in the process. And so one of the things that has been a requirement with me, with both sponsors that I've worked with, is that if I think that I have done a harm, I gotta call either my sponsor or a recovered fellow and give the situation to them in its entirety and hear them out on what needs to be said. Because often I have a distorted view of the situation. And of course, we can't, I think among us addicts, compulsive overeaters, we have a tendency to say, oh, well, it'll be a living amends, you know, and everything is a living amends, right? But I don't, you know, we don't say these things to avoid the verbal component, the direct confrontation. But we have these conversations and we have these checks to ensure we're not, as was said before, bringing our loved ones into it, you know, or implicating someone else, harming someone else. It's important to have those checks and balances with our fellows, with our higher power, with our sponsors, so that we're going about the right way of actually fixing the problem instead of creating new ones. That's what I got. Love y'all. I'll pass.
Thank you, Ian F. And Leia S., you're up, followed by Lisa B.
Thank you very much. My name is Leia S., recovered. And, oh, my God, this is such a full-packed paragraph, and I don't even know where to start. Okay, the first thing I want to say is that when I reached step nine, it was all about what I heard before. It was about making me feel better. You know, I'm gonna get along with those people that I haven't gotten along. And the list was so long. Yeah, you know, I can't get along with this one. I can't get along with that one. I can't. Every time there's a. And what step nine really started to make me is even more humble. To look within myself and to look at those four steps, emotions that they tell you about. The Big Book is not interested in all your stories and, oh God, I was the queen of drama. So that's not what the Big Book is telling me to look at my emotions. What are these feelings I've got? And, you know, I do want to admit that the first time I made the amend, it was absolutely not the right way. First of all, I didn't discuss it with my sponsor. Second of all, I just went ahead and did it. It turned out horrible. It turned out the other person was even more angrier at me, and it turned out that I just ran away. So it was a disaster, but it wasn't a disaster. Why? Because that person called me up. What was that all about when you came by? So something did come through. Even if you don't do things the way, you know, you're supposed to or whatever, we learn from that. And if I have time, one more share about really making amends is when I became honestly honest with myself. I was in Montreal, and I was there for just a couple of days. And in the morning, I wanted a coffee, and there just wasn't a coffee. And I went to the local grocery store, and I bought myself a coffee. I made everybody crazy. They didn't have coffees and so early in the morning. But anyway, and I was waiting this long line of this register, and I handed a $5 bill for my coffee, and I got back American money, but I got back a lot of money, and I was so happy I had that coffee that I went outside, and all of a sudden I put my hand into my pocket and I said, something's not right. And it took a lot of courage for me to go back inside that I got change more than $15, and to say to this register person who is really insulted, all I wanted was a coffee, and say, no, sir, you gave me too much, and to hand it back. And that guy just kept quiet and told me, thank you. I guess Canadian money and American money. But it taught me something about ninth step, and it really made me consider, what is my doing? What is my action in everything that I am doing about? Anyway, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Leah S. And Lisa B., you're up, followed by Ken W.H.
Good morning. My name is Lisa B., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater, and I'm calling from South Carolina, and I do spell my name L-E-S-A. Thank you, Lisa, for your service. I'm loving this paragraph. The word drastic is used twice, and that means to have far-reaching effect. And I love the line, ask God to help. I mean, that's just inserted in there, but it's the whole basis of everything, asking God for help. In fact, this paragraph is like all of the whole program, really, because I'm not doing it alone. I'm not just jumping in and acting, you know, and going, like, thinking on myself. I'm consulting with others and asking permission. So I had a manager and a job that I was dishonest with my commissions and the inventory that I was working with, and I wanted to make amends, but it would affect her because she also got commissions based on my commissions. And I consulted with others, and I asked for this person's permission, and I never heard back from her. Now, I did hear from her on a previous communication, so I knew I had the right address, and I even tried calling her, and I just never would get a response back. And so with my sponsor's help, I found another way to make amends that would locate her. But I just love asking God for help. I mean, that's everything. And you know what? My bookmark that's on this page, it says freedom on the bookmark. And that's what this is all about. It's getting free. And I love the word, I love the two words, not shrinking. It's like standing up, being all that God would have me be, which is free, walking free in this world. You know, I'm doing this happily. I am a compulsive overeater, but I'm not white knuckling it. I never thought that was possible, but I have to take these action steps and not shrink. And I do this with other recovered fellows, and asking God for help always, all through the day, is what my whole day is about, and sharing with others. And I'm just so grateful to be here. Thank you. I pass.
Thank you, Lisa B. And Ken W.H., please share with us.
From North Carolina, recovered compulsive eater. Thankful to be here. I'm just aware that this, a couple of my amends were what I would call drastic. But, and I needed to do them. I just needed them to do them because that's what the steps tell me to do so I can be healthy and well. In the third step, I became willing to turn my will and my life over to the care of God as I understood him. And that willingness was became apparent in doing the fourth and fifth steps. And then the sixth step, we're entirely ready to have God remove my defects. And then the seventh, humbly asking him to do so. And then the eighth step, made a list of all persons and became willing. Well, I've already become willing to do whatever God guides me to do. And clearly the steps lead me to do the ninth step. And so that willingness has already been developed. Just making the list makes me willing already to do the ninth step. So I'm already willing to do it. Now what I need more than anything is the power to go ahead and do it, to get off my backside and do it. Any hesitation, any shrinking is a result of my own fears. And those fears have always held me back in my recovery. Those are the things that need to be overpowered. That fear needs to be overpowered by God's incredible, gracious power. So that's what I'm praying for, really, as I go into this ninth step, especially the drastic ones, is just simply the power to do it. And it isn't a question of willingness anymore. It's just power. I've already been made willing through the power of the disease and the surrender that I've gone through. So it's for power that I need. I need the power to go ahead and do these kind of actions. That's all I have. Thanks for letting me share. Pass.
Thank you, Ken W.H. And before I take another list of names, just a quick announcement that Vision for You, the convention, is back, which is really, really exciting. It will take place on November 7th to the 9th, 2025, at the Marriott Newark International Airport in Newark, New Jersey. And registration is now open. If you go to www.avision4you.info, there'll be updates. You can register. The Power of the Big Book Weekend is an extraordinary opportunity to learn how the 12 steps can free you from the bondage of compulsive overeating. Come join A Vision for You as the Big Book is brought to life through the teaching and experience of those in whom the problem has been solved. So exciting news. And now we will get back to our sharing. And we are on page 80 in the chapter Into Action, reading, we've read, and are commenting on the first paragraph that begins before taking drastic action through We Must Not Shrink. And who else would like to share this morning?
Nancy P.
Loretta.
Michelle
M.
Nancy. Nancy, Loretta, Michelle, Nancy P, Loretta, don't have your first name, Michelle M. Who else?
Rebecca T.
Rebecca. Okay, we'll go with Nancy P, Loretta, I've forgotten the first initial of your last name, Michelle M, and Rebecca T. So Nancy P, you're up, followed by Loretta.
Hi, good morning. Nancy P, recovered in West Newton, Massachusetts. so the most important word in this paragraph is before. And somebody else already said most of what I was going to say, but I'll say it anyways. Before I do anything, I better make darn sure I've worked step 1 through 8. I mean, and I mean really done it. And, you know, everybody has stuff that they've done that they are embarrassed about, that they are ashamed about, that they wish they hadn't done, that they were criminal even, or, you know, morally abhorrent or whatever. Like, we've all done that. Nobody has anything new or interesting to say about that, I don't think. And I certainly, you know, could pile on. But the main thing that I've learned is that nobody owes me anything. And, you know, I remember calling a fellow. I was coming home from work, and I was moaning and complaining, and, you know, this and this and this happened, and, you know, and I deserve, she cuts me off. She said, we deserve nothing. Like, that's, truer words were never spoken. I don't deserve anything. I get what I get. And it's my job to make lemonade out of lemons. And, you know, the other thing that's so important in this is we consult with others. You know, I don't do anything by myself, really. I mean, I go to the grocery store, or else they're all going to make me buy cauliflower, which I hate. But, you know, of everything else that I do, I consult. Usually with my husband, who's completely sane in all matters, but also with my sponsor, other people, other fellows, people who I trust, whose opinions I respect. I don't do anything by myself, really. I execute alone, you know? And the only thing that I had to do alone by myself, the only truly hard thing that I did shrink at for decades was the surrender part. Because that's the only thing that nobody could help me with. I had to make that decision. I had to decide if I was really wanted to get better. And so when I surrendered, it's not like my life got easier. It just moved faster because it didn't all have all this boulders in the road and potholes and, you know, fallen trees and snowbanks and whatever. You know, it just moved faster and it was easier to live my life. But the stuff in it, there was still plenty of stuff that was, you know, strewn about that I had to clean up. And, you know, the ninth step comes after the first eight. So, you know, I went to Big Book meetings for years, blowing off, you know, most of the steps, you know, and then thinking to myself, can you imagine having to do all this, really do it? That would be horrible. Forget it. You know, I literally thought that, or it's a good thing I don't have to do that. All those other people can do that, but not me. And, you know, if you want to learn patience and humility, everybody should take up sewing and knitting because that'll teach you. I can say that from actual experience. And or you can choose also, if you want to learn patience and humility, you can do these steps the way they're written in the book, and that will also teach you. And I'll just wrap up and say, you know, when it came time to do all this stuff, I didn't shrink because I wasn't worried. And if people were still mad, they have a solution for that too, and the answer is to throw myself the harder into helping others. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Nancy P. And I think it's Loretta H. You're up, followed by Michelle M.
Lisa, thank you. It is Loretta H. Hi, everybody. Thank you all for saving my life along with my precious God. This is Loretta H., recovered in North Carolina. The shares were amazing, and I'm looking at the word shrink. I spent my life trying to be strong, and I'm a real compulsive overeater, but I spent my life trying to disappear or trying to be a smaller person because I wanted everybody to notice me. And this paragraph on amends and not shrinking actually for me is a dichotomy because of my anorexia. But I did a 4-step on my marriage when I was married for 50 years, which was about 4 or 5 years ago. And I actually had to make an amends, and thank God corrective directives and the wellness and the way that I did it correctly, because I had to make an amends for being raped. And it wasn't about the situation, but where I started the ball rolling. And I actually lied to the police officer that I wasn't out training for a marathon at 3:00 in the morning. And that wasn't the truth. The good news is they did catch the perpetrator, but my husband had to sit through a trial for time and fly back. It happened in California. We lived in New York, so had to fly back and forth for all this disaster. And I just needed to make apology for my trust. And it was many years after the incident, and I did discuss it with my sponsor and, of course, with God, because this was something that he went through that I really, really needed to make an amends for the trust, and also to suit up and show up, because he had to actually do a lot of gymnastics to get to the trial and everything. So I'm just so grateful I have this process, and that integrity for me now is, and my intentions is the most important thing of why I do this work. And it is, the I is the illness, the we is the wellness. So I am so grateful for this program, because today I'm well, and today my marriage is very well because of this program. And I pass. Thank you all, and welcome to the newcomer. Please keep me back. It will.
Thank you, Loretta H. from North Carolina, and Michelle M., you're up, followed by Rebecca T.
Good morning. This is Michelle M., recovered in Oklahoma, and I love what everybody has shared, and it's brought some things up for me. And when I think about this and this paragraph, and step nine, words that always come up to me are motive, 100%, and faith. I come from a background where, you know, you make a declarative statement, I'm sorry, and it's done. And there's no action that's taken to change the I'm sorry. And what I really recognize today is, you know, abstinence also includes our behavior. My amends, when I was running, trying to run the show myself, well, I'm bulimic. So I would, like, binge on the fear, binge on the feelings, binge on the, oh no, what's going to happen? And then I would, the pressure would build so much. And then I would just need to be rid of that. So I would go to you and purge all over you in order for me to feel better. It had absolutely nothing to do with anybody else but me feeling better. And it wasn't like I consciously was malicious about this, but that doesn't mean that I didn't do it. And it caused more harm, and I was so seduced by being liked. I mean, I wanted to skip right to nine because I needed to be liked. I need that outside validation. And this is where the steps have led me to the place where I am 100% willing, because I'm not invested in the outcome. When I'm invested in the outcome, I'm toast. And I have to trust God with that outcome 100%. I need to do the action that I need to take, and then whatever's supposed to happen is going to come back to me. But it is taking that action. You know, and motive. A lot of times motive is I just want to feel better. Well, feeling better is not quiet sincerity. I love that word in the 12 and 12, and it talks about the amends, quiet sincerity. Because that's a demonstration of my intent, you know, and there's not a show Real Housewives of compulsive overeaters. This is quiet sincerity, an animated demonstration of change. And I can take such comfort in that. And, you know, the whole shrink word and drastic, that's laced throughout all of the steps. And what they keep saying is do it anyway, do it anyway, do it anyway. Those are the steps that I need to take in order to be free. So I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Michelle M. And Rebecca T., please share with us.
Good morning. This is Rebecca T., recovered compulsive overeater in North Carolina. Thank you so much for your service and all the great shares here this morning. You know, I'm so happy to be here among the fellowship, and you know, that I don't have to go into this alone. And, you know, with this paragraph,
you know, before taking drastic action, but also asking God to help in there and not to shrink. And for what does that look like for me? And so, you know, going through the steps and having people on my amends list, you know, doesn't mean that I have to make an amends to everybody. And that's why I have a guide that I'm going through it with to differentiate, you know, because I can apologize for things that aren't even mine to apologize for. I can apologize, you know, to people for, you know, things that they may have done, you know, but that automatic taking on the responsibility of others or, you know, apologizing for things that they may not know about. And that brings me to, you know, some of the amends on the amends list for me are, you know, people, coworkers, and, you know, I wanted to make an amends to a coworker for like gossiping about that coworker or what have you. And, you know, come to realize going through the steps with my sponsor and stuff that I don't owe that person an amends for that piece of it because that person may not know and I may cause more harm unless I'm specifically aware that that person knows that I was gossiping about them. I have no business going and saying, I'm sorry that I was gossiping about you, but I do owe an amends to the other coworkers that I talked about with this person because I put them in a very difficult position, you know, because we were also friends outside of work. And so, you know, for me to have done that to them was not a fair thing that I was doing. And so that's where I get clarification of what specifically am I apologizing for and how do I go about it. And talks about asking God. I don't go to make an amends unless I've asked my higher power to bring forward what it is, how I approach, and who do I make the approach to. And as they come to me, that's as I make my amends with the guidance of others. And the shrinking part is kind of hard for me to not know, you know, just because I'm nervous inside that I'm cleaning up my side of the street and it might be uncomfortable. It doesn't mean that I can't be brave and have courage to go and do it anyway. It just means that I'm having these feelings. These are all normal. I'm human, but I can show up. And with that, I pass. Thanks.
Thank you, Rebecca T. And we have time for two or three more shares. Who else would like to share this morning? Page 80, first paragraph. Before we take drastic action, until we must not shrink.
Ginny T.
Did you say Ginny?
Ginny S.
Okay, Jeannie T and Jeannie F. You might have to clarify for me.
It is Jeannie S.
S as in Sam or F as in Frank?
S as in Sam.
Okay. Was there another Jeannie? Jeannie T?
Oh, that was my mistake.
Oh, okay. Go ahead and share with us, and then we'll see what else we have left.
All right, good morning. It's Ginny S. I just went back to my maiden name, so that was my mistake putting the T in there. I just need to say that I have been listening to Vision for probably over 2 years now, maybe more, but I've only spoken maybe twice. So I just wanted to let everybody know how significant it is to be listening to people's strength and hope. And I wanted to say just a quick note that just today talking about amends, I realized that my divorce was about maybe 6 years ago, but it's just coming now, the amends that I need to do. And it's been a long time coming, but I just feel somehow there's a level of clarity, and I think the clarity is coming from higher power. And I don't think I want to use the word fear. I just feel that I feel a we, that I will not be alone, and I will be proceeding in the writing and the step work to take me to the next piece. So I think the biggest change for me maybe is is the I and the alone and the blame and whatever, all the sadness and the whatever. But now it's me, but it's me with a we. And I just want to say thank you so much for the program, and I cannot tell you how much each and all of you that I listen and I jot things down, and it's been a life force for me, and I thank you. With that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Jeannie F. Okay, we've got time. We've got 5 minutes left. One or two more shares for anyone who would like to take them.
Nicole F.
Nicole. Anybody else? Okay, Nicole, please share with us.
Hi, this is Nicole S. I'm recovered in Colorado. Thank you so much for your service this morning. And this is such an important reminder for me that I need, whenever it implicates other people, I really need to get some direction. And I had an incident with our neighbors that's been going on for a couple years. And my initial thing is I always want to apologize because I don't want people to be mad at me. And when this paragraph was read this morning, it helped me to remember that my husband has been in on this situation also. And by me making that apology for something that we didn't do includes him, and he would be very upset because he was he did not do anything wrong in this situation, but wrong was done to him over this. And so there's so many situations that can just be so tricky and sticky, and I just automatically go to, I want people to like me and nobody to be mad at me. And so I learned early on in my life that I just need to apologize so that people aren't mad at me. And that's never, can be the best course of action. So, here it's, I can have others to consult with, a sponsor, others, fellows in program. And what a gift, this fellowship, because I've never found any situation that I'm going through that I don't eventually find somebody who's gone through the same thing and can share their experience, strength, and hope with that. And, above all, I've got God to seek, and God can help me, and give me wisdom of what's going to be the best course of action, and then can give me the courage to go forward with that. And I just read in another program literature that courage is fear that has said its prayers. And I thought, oh, what a good reminder, because I don't have to shrink at things. God will give me that courage if I do need to go forward with an amends. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you, Nicole S. from Colorado. And we have a minute and a half. Anyone like a quick share this morning?
Here, Savannah G.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear.
Savannah G.
Savannah, why don't you go ahead and take a minute, a little over a minute. Savannah.
Okay, thank you. My name is Savannah G. I am from Pennsylvania, and I am a compulsive overeater. And I just wanted to share that I just appreciate all the shares today. And I'm just thankful that I can come onto this meeting and just identify myself as a compulsive eater to remind myself for the day that that I have a fellowship I can reach out to if I get nervous about something. I can make calls. I'm just real appreciative today and grateful. Part of me doing this is trying to stay out of fear, because sometimes I just get so fearful. And sometimes I get so fearful, I can't even hear the shares. So
Thanks for letting me share, and thank you for your service.
Thank you, Silvana G. from Pennsylvania, and thank you to everyone who shared this morning. Please join us for a second unrecorded hour of study immediately following closing. The share ID for today, Wednesday, February 19th, for the 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 22,178, 22178. We'll now close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. And Judy N., will you please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only until keep you until then. Judy N., please press star one. Okay, don't have Judy N. What about Susan S.H.? I don't know if y'all can hear me.
Okay. We can hear you.
Well, okay, well, I think I'll just be reading page 164 this morning. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.